This GX on Agriculture podcast is brought to you by Haas Nissan in Yorkton.
To the people tending the land and animals that feed us and support our community, we at Haas Nissan want to say thank you on behalf of all those who depend on you, the farmer. Like you, we're a family business with family values you can depend on. Haas Nissan, where a customer becomes family.
GX on Agriculture with Doug Falconer.
Good afternoon and welcome to GX on Agriculture. Coming up on today's program, that much-needed rain last week has certainly helped out canola crops in western Manitoba and eastern Saskatchewan. We'll hear from the Canola Council of Canada agronomy specialist Justine Cornelson coming up on today's program. Canola Counts is a program that encourages farmers and agronomists to check out canola stands at 2 to 4 leaf stage. We'll talk to Jason Castleman, who is the Canola Council of Canada's agronomy specialist in the Peace River region, about that program. A new Regina-based food company is taking steps to expand its business. The owner-operator of Harvest Foods, Matt Degelman, says the company was formed about 18 months ago and has a couple of food product lines from Saskatchewan farms. All that and much, much more coming up on today's edition of GX on Agriculture. But first, it's time for the Agriculture Outlook with Precision Weather. And that's a presentation of Sean Prahitka, your REMAX Blue Chip Realty Ag Specialist.
Agriculture Outlook with Precision Weather.
With Phil Spivak from Precision Weather. And Phil, it's a clear blue sky here today. Can we expect that to continue for the rest of the day?
Yeah, through today and really for the next couple of days, there's not going to be much in the way of weather. There may be a few clouds. The completely clear sky may not last, but the mostly sunny sky. And I guess the question becomes just how much do those scattered clouds matter in terms of planning weather? They certainly don't. They change the color of the sky, and that's really the impact they're going to have, is it's just not going to be as blue. The high pressure is controlled very strong, and it's just a ridge that's in place across a large chunk of the center part of the continent. Temperatures this afternoon are in the upper 20s. We drop back tonight to around 15 under a clear sky. The air is pretty dry, and that, of course, does become a problem tomorrow as the wind picks up. A south-to-southeast wind starts to gust, gets sustained 20 to 40, gusts up to around 50 or 60. And with that extra wind and with still the very dry air, that will bring up our fire danger, so it is going to be rather high through the day tomorrow. The high is 30. The clear sky holds tomorrow night. We drop back to around 19. I'll bring in a 10% chance of a shower for Wednesday. I mention that because there is just a very weak disturbance coming in around the high. It's just going to be still so dry that it's going to be tough to get too much moisture out of this. We'll see some little cloud cover, but most of us are fine as far as showers go, 27. There is a better chance for some showers later on Thursday. 23 is the high, and high pressure settles back into close the week Friday, partly to mostly sunny with a high near 20.
That's Phil Spivak from Precision Weather. Temperatures around the region this hour, the Paw is at 24 degrees. Swan River, Dauphin, Brandon, and Roblin, 26. Shoal Lake Russell, 25. Regina, Hudson Bay, Indian Head, Wynyard, Wadena, Kelvington, 27. Saskatoon, 29. Broadview, Mooseman, 26. The Yorkton-Melville region has a sunny sky, a southeast wind at 17 kilometers an hour. 28% is the relative humidity. The temperature is 27 degrees. Yesterday, Yorkton reached a high of 26 degrees and dropped to a low of 11 degrees. There was no precipitation recorded in the 24-hour period ending at midnight last night. The normal high for this date is 22 degrees. The normal low is 9 degrees. The sun rose in Yorkton at 4:34 this morning, and it will set at 9:07 tonight. Extreme temperatures for Manitoba and Saskatchewan yesterday. The Manitoba hotspot was indeed the Canadian hotspot yesterday. Deerwood got up to 33 degrees. The cold spot in Manitoba was Churchill at zero. The Saskatchewan hot spot yesterday was Maple Creek at 29 degrees, the cold spot Val Marie at plus 3 degrees. And that's a look at your agriculture weather. Please stay tuned. GX on Agriculture will return in 1 minute's time. Welcome back to GX on Agriculture. Canola plants are starting to grow more evenly in eastern Saskatchewan and western Manitoba. Canola Council of Canada agronomy specialist Justine Cornelson says they recently received some much-needed rain.
Yes, finally, as of last week, we finally got some rain. You know, this part of western Manitoba, southeastern Saskatchewan, we've kind of missed some of the bigger rainfalls. So last week definitely is making a huge impact now. Southwestern Manitoba kind of varied anywhere in that, you know, kind of 2 to 5 inches worth, which is, you know, the most we've had in quite some time, actually, probably since last summer. But it's made a huge difference with that crop, right? A lot of our canola was kind of seeded into dust. So it's helped bring everything up to speed, and it's poking through, and this heat this week should make a huge difference.
And I'm sure most producers had their canola in before that rain fell.
Yes, yeah, you know, there's a few spots with some reseeding going on. That kind of falls a little further to the north. Growers were kind of waiting to assess, you know, the frost paired with the dry conditions and poor emergence to see what they ended up having. So I know there's a few growers still scratching a few acres back in there of canola. But for the most part, in the south, it's been in there, and, you know, we're kind of pushing up into that 4 or 5 leaf stage now.
I've heard that flea beetles are an issue in canola crops.
Yeah, you know what, I've been hearing more into that because, you know, north of Yorkton area of some flea beetle cases. Into the south, you know, they're obviously there, but not as severe as some of the other areas. I know as we move closer to Winnipeg, they've been quite aggressive. And same, just a combination of things, right? We've had kind of poor emergence to begin with. The crop has been stressed just due to how hot, you know, we had that really warm week. And then we had frost the week before. So just that in general has caused a lot of stress. So the canola itself has kind of been very slow going, and the flea beetles have been able to kind of capitalize on that and do some fairly aggressive feeding. So like I said, there's been fields that have been sprayed, some headlands on areas, but hopefully that crop should be advancing out of that really susceptible stage for feeding damage.
Any other pests affecting canola crops right now?
You know what, we're hearing a little bit of cutworm activity like you do every year, same, very patchy as always. Because the canola had sat in the ground, you know, upwards of 3 to 4 weeks without coming out, that did kind of wear off that seed treatment. So we've been having some cases of root rot pathogens causing some damage. I've seen some fields, you know, in that, I guess, south of Yorkton area. I've been hearing of a few in there. Just, you know, they sat for so long. So they are, like I said, just kind of in that susceptible stage. So when we're looking at, you know, root rots and seedling diseases, you got to pull up the plants, have a look underground, and see what that root tissue is doing. We start to see that kind of brown, soggy growth or fungus starting to eat away on it. So that'll be something to kind of be watching, especially if you're seeing areas where the plants have come up, they look good, and they're just starting to wilt and shrivel up now. Have a look underground and see what's going on there.
Are there any weed issues in canola right now?
You know what? We've been dealing with lots. Obviously, it's herbicide timing now. Because it's been so hot, you know, I know that's been challenging for growers to kind of get on a non-windy day that's not too warm to get that timely application. So they're underway. The heat is going to work wonders on some of the products. You know, like your Liberty and glyphosates are really going to burn off well. So getting in there in early weed removal is so, so crucial. The weeds were slow growing, just like the canola, so I know a lot of, you know, pre-seed applications or pre-seed burn-offs weren't happening or pre-emerge. So now that the weeds are up, we got to get in there because, you know, weeds that emerge at the same time or before that canola crop are the ones that really cause yield damages. All of those ones that come up after the canola's up don't have nearly the impact as those of the weeds that were early growing before that canola. So getting in there, getting those applications down is going to be the focus of producers right now.
So producers are spraying right now where they can?
Yeah, typically the herbicide. The herbicide's the big one going down. Like I said, there'd be a few growers that are tank mixing and throwing that insecticide application in as well to target some flea beetle damage.
And due to hot temperatures this week, do producers need to be careful when they spray?
Yeah, you know, that's going to be one of our big threats moving into this week, where we're getting, you know, that 30-degree temperatures. Liberty applications, you just got to watch that you're not going to stress out and burn that canola. So rough recommendations are kind of that 27 to 28 degree range. Anything after that, you've got to be very cautious with. As always, just ensuring that you got enough water there, so you got your high water volumes going in with any sort of product. But yeah, if you can kind of do it first thing in the morning, or in you know, even into the evening when it cools off a little bit, and if you're not worried about inversions or drift or anything like that, getting in and doing an application then would be better off. Glyphosate, I think you've got higher. I think it's up to like 35 degrees. So. Those are just, like I said, those are things to be watching and just sticking to those label rates and recommendations.
And is there anything you would like to add?
You know what, right now is a great time to get out and do plant counts. You know, as the crop kind of moves into that six-leaf and rosette stage, it becomes a little more challenging to do so. So going out and actually verifying how successful your seeding operation was, you know, if you were targeting 8 plants per square foot, were you actually achieving that? So determining your survivability. Right now, Canola Council has a crowdsourcing project underway called Canola Counts, where we're looking for producers and agronomists to submit that information. So if they can submit their plant stand information, so that'll help us have a better understanding of what growers are able to achieve in Western Canada. So that's something that growers can fill out at the canolacalculator.ca. You can find Canola Counts on there. And like I said, that information helps us with future research projects and understanding what growers are able to achieve and run the economics behind these different plants and canola survivability.
Justine Cornelson is an agronomy specialist with the Canola Council of Canada, based in the Verdun area. It's now 12:30 in Saskatchewan, 1:30 in Manitoba, and it's time for the Ag Review portion of our program. That's a presentation of Peebles Machine and Welding in Yorkton.
GX94, Ag Review.
Richardson Pioneer has announced plans to build a new high-throughput grain elevator in Carmichael, Saskatchewan, located 65 kilometers west of Swift Current. Construction began earlier this month and is expected to be completed by the fall of 2022. The new elevator will include 46,000 metric tons of storage capacity with a loop track rail design capable of loading 175 high-cube rail cars. The facility will feature high-speed receiving and loadout with a high-capacity grain cleaning system. Immediately following completion of the new elevator, Richardson will proceed with the construction of crop inputs assets, including a high-speed fertilizer blender with storage and a 10,000-square-foot AWSA-certified warehouse, both of which will be fully operational by the fall of 2023. Richardson International is Canada's largest agribusiness and is based in Winnipeg. The company is a worldwide handler of and merchandiser of all major Canadian-grown grains and oilseeds and a vertically integrated processor and manufacturer of oats and canola-based products. The Saskatchewan Ministry of Environment and Ministry of Agriculture have jointly proclaimed June 13th to 19th as Native Prairie Appreciation Week. The Saskatchewan Prairie Conservation Action Plan, or PCAP, has a number of activities planned to celebrate the week, including virtual events and contests. The province's native prairie is a unique ecosystem that provides a number of ecological, social, and environmental benefits, as well as habitat for a number of species. Environment Minister Warren Kading says this week is an opportunity to appreciate native prairie and its crucial role in conserving Saskatchewan's biodiversity. He says PCAP does a great job of highlighting the importance of Saskatchewan's native prairie for our ecology and our identity as a province. Saskatchewan Agriculture Minister David Merritt says our government recognizes the importance of native prairie as part of a diverse ecosystem. He says Saskatchewan's producers are stewards of the land, and our ranching sector plays an important role in conserving and managing rangeland around the province. He adds the sustainable practices of our ranchers promote the ecological health of the native prairie ecosystem. To register or learn more about Native Prairie Appreciation Week, visit www.pcap-sk.org or contact their office at pcap@sastel.net. The National Farmers Union is urging MPs to safeguard supply management by passing Bill C-216. The NFU says the bill would make it illegal, for any future trade agreements to provide more foreign access to Canada's supply managed markets. NFU President Katie Ward says the supply management system stands on production discipline, which ensures farmers produce no more or less than the market needs, cost of production pricing, which ensures that farmers receive a fair income and import control, which prevents oversupply. She says Bill C-216 would ensure the third pillar will remain in place. Canada is currently negotiating trade agreements with the United Kingdom, Argentina, Brazil, Paraguay, Uruguay, and Venezuela. And that is a look at today's AgriView portion of our program. Please stay tuned. GX on Agriculture will return in 60 seconds time.
To the people tending the land and animals that feed us and support our community, we at Haas Nissan want to say thank you on behalf of all those who depend on you, the farmer. Like you, we're a family business with family values you can depend on. Haas Nissan, where a customer becomes family.
Welcome back to GX on Agriculture. I'm Doug Faulkner. It's sunny and 27 degrees in the Yorkton-Melville region. I'll have your complete weather details coming up at the top of the hour. Canola Counts is a program that encourages farmers and agronomists to check out canola stands at the 2-4 leaf stage. The Canola Council of Canada calls it a science project for everyone. Jason Castleman is the Canola Council of Canada's agronomy specialist in the Peace River region of Alberta.
A program put out by the Canola Council of Canada, and we've got funding from this from the provincial grower groups on Canola Counts. It's a canolacounts.ca is the website that you can go to, and while you're out in the field checking your doing your scouting, checking plant stand and counting canola plants, you can enter the what you're seeing on canolacounts.ca and have that as a record of the canola counts for the field that you're in.
Why is that information useful to you?
Information is useful in that it helps us to establish an idea of what is the actual plant stand count that canola growers are getting in their field. The Canola Council does make a recommendation for at least 5 to 8 plants per square foot. And what we're trying to find out is how close growers are getting to that 5 to 8 plants per square foot and see for themselves what their actual plant establishment was and have a chance to look at that field.
With soil moisture conditions varying across Western Canada, I would assume some crop stands will be better than others.
Yeah, and that's the idea. So if we can record that location of where those fields are, we will be able to establish a map based on township, not by individual grower by any means, but by the township information for the canola counts, and give growers an idea of what the plant counts are for across Western Canada. And so we'll be able to provide some maps, and also as growers are checking a number of their fields and seeing how well they're doing across the farm, they can determine if they were successful in getting that 5 to 8 plants per square foot. And like you said, if there was conditions that were ideal, then hopefully their plant establishment was good. And maybe on some of those tougher conditions, if it was a little drier or under seeding under less than ideal conditions, determine on what that effect had on their plant establishment.
What are the methods of counting the plants?
Basically, the idea is to get out into the field, and I personally use a hoop that I know the area of. So if I've got a hoop that measures 2 square feet, I use that to kind of just toss it around the field, try to hit as many different spots as I can. 5 or 6 spots in a field is going to be a pretty good idea. And the idea of with the hoop is it does introduce that randomness of doing the counts where I'm not attracted to the poorest areas or the best areas of the field. It's a random count. And so throwing that hoop and then counting the number of plants in that hoop area and then figuring out what my plants per square foot is. And it's gives me an idea of what, making sure that I'm not counting also volunteers and that it is the plants that we had seeded that year. So it's also the size of them too. 2 to 4 leaf stage is the size that we would recommend growers to be doing those plant counts at.
And in the fall, you're going to be doing a similar project?
Exactly. So in the fall, what we wanted to see is we know what we had in the spring, so we've got that count from that 2 to 4 leaf stage, and then at harvest time, we can count stubble, count stems, and see what did we end up with for a final plant stand at harvest time. So we know that we possibly could lose a few of those plants over the growing season, but what did we end up with at the end of the year to how well we were doing in the spring or kind of what it took to get us there.
As for the spring, how many readings would you want per field?
It would be an average for the field, if possible. If it is something that's totally different, you can submit multiple counts. The tool, canolacounts.ca tool, does have an auto-locate feature, so it will give you your legal land location for the field that you're in. And you can put in an average for the field. And if you had a couple of spots that were a little bit different, you could name them different parts of that field as well. So it does have a feature of putting in your name, the field name, and the land location of where you're at. Because if you do put in your email address as well, you will get a summary email sent back to you with your information that you did submit. So then in the fall, when you want to go back to that field, you do have a record in your email file of what you had submitted, and you can compare.
So you can do it with your phone right in the field?
Yes, for sure. It's canolacounts.ca. Just pull up the website on your phone, and it's kind of a fun thing to do. You can keep track of what you're doing in the field. It's while you're scouting. It's just a couple of steps to enter in some information. And we've actually got a few prizes that are, for people who do put in their information at the end of the season. They will be some prizes.
Jason Castleman is a Canola Council of Canada agronomy specialist. The website to remember is canolacounts.ca. Once again, canolacounts.ca.
Livestock market conditions.
U.S. live cattle futures for August closed at 121.27 today. That's up 125. October live cattle closed at 126.80, up 102. August feeder cattle closed at 154.60, up 342. September feeder cattle closed at 156.82, up 330. July lean hogs closed at 118.22, down 175. August lean hogs closed at 114.80, down 217. And that's the livestock market conditions. Well, a new Regina-based food company is taking steps to expand its business. The owner-operator of Harvest Foods, Matt Degelman, says the company was formed about 18 months ago and has a couple of food product lines from Saskatchewan farms.
So Harvest Foods, we take Saskatchewan-grown crops and grains, and we make a few different products. We started out doing our two different kind of artesian hummuses. So we do a prairie dill flavor. So it's fresh dill and roasted garlic, lemon zest, all that good stuff. And then we do a spicier one too, sun-dried tomato and sriracha. So it started out with doing those two hummuses. And then we're kind of expanding on just trying to, whatever we can get our hands on that's grown in Sask. So right now we're using Saskatchewan rolled and grown oats to do our grid road granola and our other oat products. We're actually going to launch an oat milk coming up here pretty soon. So yeah, I have a love for food and Saskatchewan agriculture, and the things kind of just meld together so well.
How are sales of the hummus and the oats so far?
they're going really well. We're battling out at a farmer's market every weekend here, and then in some local vendors, like Ukrainian Co-op and Italian Stardelli and Mike's Independent. All those great local grocery stores are awesome to deal with. Just kind of working on our production right now, just to kind of keep up with some of the bigger grocery chains that we're trying to get into, like the Co-ops and Save-On's and stuff like that. So that it's kind of coming down the road.
Yeah, no, so I think our kind of plan of attack is we're going to start working with the Saskatchewan Food Center, and they're going to kind of get our kind of product pretty dialed in and can produce on bigger scale to get into these big grocery stores. So that's kind of our plan for that.
Do you eventually want to move into exports?
Yeah, so right now we're just kind of we're a small fish in a really, really big pond. So we're trying to do a little bit of specialty grain and crop exports like caraway and coriander that are one of our partners grows. So I think we're just going to try to get our foot in the door. But yeah, love just dealing in anything that's any kind of agriculture that's grown in Saskatchewan. I really think that we have a quality product, and a lot of time and heart and effort goes into growing all this stuff. So it's a treat for the rest of the world to get their hands on.
How long has Harvest Foods been in business?
Well, we're coming on about a year and a half right now. So started very small, started in kind of in grandma's kitchen kind of thing. And now, yeah, we've got our own kitchen of ourselves downtown. And yeah, we're rocking and rolling every day. And it's turned into a full-time gig for me, at least.
Where are you based in Regina?
Our kitchen is 2167 Hamilton Street. So it's a kind of commercial kitchen down there. And actually, we have a little bit of an ice cream joint running out the front called the Chuck Wagon. So we kind of got two businesses on the go. But yeah, it's been a handful, but it's been fun.
And your key product is Saskatchewan-grown food products.
Exactly, yeah. We're looking to expand at anything, any kind of product that we can realize that there's a niche for, or a market that we can tap into that's Saskatchewan grown. And we just try to take that raw product and take it to the next kind of retail.
Matt Degelman is the owner-operator of Regina-based Harvest Foods. It's now 12:46 in Saskatchewan, 1:46 in Manitoba. Please stay tuned. Your commodities update is coming up next.
Commodities update.
Canola futures closed down across the board today. July canola closed at $853.70, down $17.30. November canola closed at $727.60, down $16.70. July Minneapolis wheat closed at $746.50, down 18.25 cents. July Kansas City wheat closed at $6.28 per bushel, down 10 cents. July Chicago wheat closed at $674.50, down 6.25 cents. July corn closed at $659.25, down 25.25 cents. July soybeans closed at $14.72.25, down 36.25 cents. July oats closed at $3.68.75, down 12.5 cents. And that's the commodities update. Western Canadian swine veterinarians are being encouraged to participate in a study designed to shed new light on the diagnosis and treatment of streptococcus-associated diseases. Dr. Matthias Costa, an assistant professor with the University of Saskatchewan's Western College of Veterinary Medicine, and an adjunct professor with Utrecht University, tells us what streptococcus is.
Streptococcus is a genus of bacteria, and there are multiple species in that genus. Probably the most famous one in the swine industry are Streptococcus suis, Streptococcus dysgalactiae, and more recently, Streptococcus equi subspecies zooepidemicus. There's a range of clinical signs associated with this disease, and I think it will take me a while to go through all the clinical signs. So I guess the reason why we're interested in streptococcus-associated infections is exactly as you pointed out. It affects animal health and welfare. So as you know, if you are within the swine industry, Streptococcus suis will lead to mortality rates that may be increased and can facilitate the other disease to spread through the herd as well. And that obviously has huge economic implications. Plus, we don't have a efficient vaccine against Streptococcus suis, so you end up having to use antibiotics to treat and control the disease. The same applies for the other streptococci. So it's a challenging issue, and what we have seen recently is that we need more tools, or perhaps we need more better knowledge of what's going on with streptococci in Western Canada in order to deal with a little bit better than we're currently doing.
Who's involved in these research efforts?
There are three main organizations associated with this project. The Canada West Swine Health Intelligence Network, which is mostly going to be helping us with the epidemiological effort. So we're going to be looking into, are these streptococci associated with disease? Is it associated with high mortality or not? What is going on? And then Prairie Diagnostic Service and the Veterinary Diagnostic Service in Winnipeg, those two institutes will be mostly helping us out with the diagnostic testing and, you know, collecting those samples. So those samples will really be coming through practitioners out there in the field. Whenever they figure that they have an issue that could be associated with strep, any kind of streptococcus, they would submit those samples as a regular sample to the diagnostic lab. And we are able to streamline those samples into the project pipeline. And then once we know that that disease or that specific case is associated with streptococci, we're able to reach out to those practitioners and investigate, A, if they're interested in taking part in the study, and B, provide some further data beyond just regular diagnostics.
How is the information collected being assessed and compared?
So the information is being collected two ways. First is a epidemiological survey. So practitioners who take part in the study will reach out to them, and they will hopefully be able to supply us with some specific information for each case. Mostly associated with, you know, epidemiological factors, as I just said. So looking at, is this case truly associated with disease? How long has this been going on? Are there any other agents or problems associated with this case? So we're looking into really investigating from both ends. We don't really just want to look at the bacteria. We want to look at the pig and the environment where the bacteria are coming from, so that we can, you know, put the pieces together in the puzzle. And the second step really is more laboratory-based. So we're going to be looking at the presence of streptococci, and we're going to speciate it. So we want to know which streptococci are associated with whatever given case we receive. We're going to be looking at their antimicrobial susceptibility profile, and we're going to be doing that in two ways. First, we're going to be doing the regular antimicrobial susceptibility profile based on live culture. So that means we culture the bacteria, expose it to different antimicrobials, and see if they inhibit growth or not. But then second, we're going to be doing whole genome sequencing on those samples, and we are expecting to really collect a wealth of information from that those genomes, including antimicrobial susceptibility genes. So we're going to match the antimicrobial susceptibility information from the genome. We're going to match that to the culture results, to the culture susceptibility results, to the epidemiological survey. And then finally, we also want to take a look at the genome for specific virulence factors. So those are genes that allow streptococci to cause disease. And the reason why we're going to do that is we want to at least monitor and look for some kind of pattern that could help us perhaps predict, or if not predict, at least really monitor and observe how streptococci are developing and evolving in Western Canada. There's a lot of data on streptococci, especially Streptococcus suis, out of Eastern Canada. They have been doing a great job looking at this pathogen and making sure they understand how it's evolving in their area. But there is no data from Western Canada looking at streptococci and strep suis. So this is kind of the first time we're going to be doing that. We're very excited with the prospect that we may learn and gather very interesting insights. And we hope that those insights based on the epidemiological survey, culture and antimicrobial susceptibility or whole genome sequence will allow us to get back to the industry and to the practitioners so that they have better tools to control the disease and to control the infection.
At what point is this investigation and what are the expected timelines for completion?
We're just starting. The team was put together earlier this year. We are now just opening for submissions. So we have started reaching out to those practitioners who are submitting samples. We are just making it public and talking to different communication means. So you may see this through Farmscape. You may see it in some social media. So we're just getting things going, and we expect that based on information from last year, we should reach our target goal of around 200 isolates within 6 months, and we expect we'll be able to complete the data analysis and share the results within a year.
Who is being asked to participate in this study?
We ask swine veterinarians or veterinarians involved in any kind of swine operation, commercial swine operation in Western Canada, to submit samples just like they would do for a diagnostic investigation or diagnostic workup. Once they do that, they are welcome to either let us know or we'll identify those samples where streptococci are isolated. And those interested veterinarians will be contacted and we'll talk to them through. We'll talk them through the what's needed to be part of the study. But it really is a 5-minute epidemiological survey, just for us to understand where the samples are coming from, and they will then receive a report that is beyond the regular diagnostic workup. So they get extra information that will hopefully help them deal with their problem in the barn, and will help us understand the overall bigger picture in Western Canada. So if you're a veterinarian in Western Canada and you're interested in participating, you're probably familiar with the Sichuan website. Feel free to visit that website. There's more information there on how to participate with the study, or please reach out to myself or Dr. Yetta Christensen, and we'll communicate with the veterinarian, and we'll make sure you get your samples through the study and get the information you need. And we will really appreciate the community support to get this project going.
How will information gathered through this project be applied?
We hope the same veterinarians who submit samples will be able to apply this information back in their herds and their clients' herds. And we also hope that the industry in general will be able to learn from that. So producers will be more aware of if streptococci are truly a problem in their herds or not. And we also are hopefully going to be able to overall, as a community, control the infection better. If there's something we can do to reduce or mitigate transmission, we should be able to observe those patterns with the information from this study. So truly, the whole industry should benefit from this study.
And is there anything you would like to add?
I just will really appreciate the community to reach out. So if you're a veterinarian, you want to submit samples, there is no extra cost associated with this. And we would really, really like to see, you know, the more submissions, the better. It will help us understand the disease, which I believe is important for the whole industry in Western Canada and in Canada. So reach out if you have something you suspect is streptococci. Don't be shy. We want to hear from you.
Dr. Matthias Costa is an assistant professor with the University of Saskatchewan's Western College of Veterinary Medicine. Please stay tuned. Your agriculture weather is coming up next. The GX94 Precision Weather Forecast for the Quill Lakes, Hudson Bay, Swan River, Broadview, Mooseman, Indian Head, and Yorkton, Melville, Roblin, Russell regions today. Sunny skies, winds south-southeast at 15 to 25, and a high of 28 degrees. For tonight, clear, winds southeast at 15 to 25, and a low of 15. Tomorrow, mainly sunny, winds south-southeast at 20 to 40, a high of 30. Wednesday, mainly sunny, winds west at 20 to 40, a high of 27. For Thursday, partly sunny with a 30% chance of late day showers, a high of 23. And Friday, partly to mainly sunny, a high of 20. In the Paw, it's 24 degrees. Swan River, Dauphin, Brandon, and Roblin are all reporting in at 26. Show Lake Russell, 25. Regina, Hudson Bay, Indian Head, Wynyard, Wadena, Kelvington, 27. Saskatoon, 29. Broadview, Mooseman, 26. The Yorkton-Melville region has a sunny sky, a southeast wind at 17 kilometers an hour. 28% is the relative humidity. The temperature is 27 degrees. That's your agriculture weather, and that'll do it for GX on Agriculture for today. Be sure to tune in again tomorrow at 12:15 Saskatchewan time for another edition of the program. It's time now for the news and sports headlines.
CJGX, a Harvard radio station serving Saskatchewan and Manitoba. We are GX94.